What's up, Grey's Anatomy fans? A Miranda-heavy episode this episode, plus a sneak preview of the new show Station 19. We're here to talk Grey's Anatomy Season 14, Episode 11. Don't move a muscle.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Love when he puts the lights up. That's my favorite thing. What's up, Grey's fans? We just had to open with a moment of silence for this amazing song by Kesha called Praying. Nominated for a Grammy this year. Lost, unfortunately, to Ed Sheeran. We were just talking about that. But I do love this song, and I thought it was very appropriate for the episode, which is called Don't Fear the Reaper. Mm-hmm. I am joined by my beautiful co-host, Elle Marie.
Yes, hey, guys.
I know that we are short some panelists. We are trying to fix that. But for right now, you have us two amazing people, and I'm so excited to be here with you. Where can they find you, my love?
You guys can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at Elle Marie TV.
And I am Timothy Michael. You can find me everywhere at I am Timothy Michael. Mike, I-A-M, Timothy Mike. Tweet at us. Tweet us your thoughts. We want to hear what you have to say about this episode. Everybody in the live chat, if our wonderful engineer Anthony can throw that up there so we can interact with you guys. We are excited to talk about this episode.
Yeah.
What were your initial thoughts, babe?
I was a little worried because, you know, as we saw in the preview, things got a little rougher, Miss Bailey.
Yes.
So I was nervous. I didn't know where they were going to go with this and just completely shock us.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially with Station 19 coming up and Ben, his character coming off of the show, I was just nervous. I didn't know which way they were going to go with
it. So you thought that it was going to be like a very tragic thing,
yeah,
which is why Ben
tragic.
Is going to be. Mm-hmm. Got you. See, yeah. I was expecting something like this for Miranda's character just because she hasn't had any like good like storylines lately ever since the whole OCD thing. I feel like that was her last like big storyline, so I was waiting for them to give her something. I wasn't worried about her not making it out of here. I mean, she's Miranda.
She is. I don't know, they've just been lately taking people left and right.
You're right, it is Grey's Anatomy and they are very quick to be like, you know what, no, we're good. You're out. But no, that obviously wasn't the case. If you guys watched the episode, let's talk about first Bailey narrating the episode, which I thought was very fitting. And then these flashbacks of her mom. And maybe that's when I started getting worried because I was like, maybe she... Because she's talking about the whole deathbed thing. And usually when you're on your deathbed, you have like your life flashes before your eyes. So maybe that's when I started getting a little worried. Like maybe it's going to be really dramatic where she's like on her deathbed and this is why she's having the flashbacks. What did you think?
I kind of like thought the same thing. Like I said, so I already had that notion in my mind. And so then we're starting the episode with starting with her youth and her childhood. So yeah, it's like, why are we going back through everything? It makes you a little bit nervous. Like, okay. But I liked it because I like that we got more of a background of Miranda. Like, we already knew she was a little mousy. They've played that before when she first started. And Richard kind of had to build her and mold her into the surgeon that she is today. But also just the things like with her mother. I guess we'll get into it a little bit. But it just gave us more backstory on her.
Yeah, I agree. What's up, Joe March, Olivia in the chat? What's up, guys?
Hey, guys.
So we open with Warren and Bailey driving Tuck to school. And then Warren trying to tell Bailey about his new fire academy training and all this stuff. And she's over it.
She didn't want to hear it at all.
And she was like, just drop me off here. I have a meeting. And we could obviously tell she was lying. And then she goes to Seattle Presbyterian. She goes right up to the nurse and very professional, very Bailey-like. And is like, I'm Miranda Bailey. I'm from Grace Sloan. And I think I'm having a heart attack. One thing that I thought was interesting about that entire situation was I was like, she's being really rude to Warren. I was like, I don't like how she is treating Warren. I thought we had gotten over this. I thought that she was okay with his decision in life to, you know, become a firefighter and all this stuff. And then come to find out she was really just doing it because she's literally having a heart attack in the car and needs to get out. So I jumped to conclusions. Did you?
No, I was feeling like she's just still in her feelings about it.
So you think so? Half of that was real.
Yeah, I feel like half of it was real. She is still a little some of that was real.
So the one thing that got me frustrated about the beginning of the episode was that she's telling everybody that she is having a heart attack, and nobody at Seattle Presbyterian wants to listen to her. And I don't know if it's a theme with Grey's Anatomy, but let's break it down for a second, because we are doing the after show, you guys. So when Derek went to the other hospital, I forgot the name of it. Correct me in the chat, you guys. But he was telling them in his subconscious, make sure you do a CT scan. Make sure you do a CT scan. Then we look at Miranda and she's like, you have to do a cardiac stress test. You have to do it. And nobody wants to do these tests on these doctors. Are they teaching things at Grace Sloan that no of the hospitals maybe need to know? It's like basic stuff.
Some of it is basic stuff. And then also some of it is, you know, they love to push the envelope. So maybe some things they don't know. But the tests and things like that, honestly, I think it reflects on a real hospital, a real experience in a hospital. Because the tests, they cost money and things like that. So a lot of times you always hear people being misdiagnosed or they didn't catch something because they look like they look at it as it's small, like oh, you're just it's just indigestion, we'll send you home.
Yeah,
you know, days later they come back and it was something more. So I think they're kind of showing the more realistic approach of the hospital,
which I understand. And in Derek's case, I can understand why that would be more of like a real scenario, because he was obviously unconscious and they didn't really know to do the CT. At least, you know, somebody was fighting for it, but the chief person on staff that night was like, no, we need to do this, it's more pressing. But in this case, Miranda's conscious, she's fully aware of her surroundings, and she's telling them, I am the chief of surgery, I'm a doctor, I know what I'm talking about. So I don't know, if a doctor is telling you that they want something, isn't your, as a doctor, isn't your responsibility to the patient? And if the patient is asking for something, it's your duty to fulfill that.
I think so. But at the same time, if you're in a space of I am the doctor here,
right,
and this is my call, I don't see this, you know, you need to relax. And also now knowing that she has OCD, like thinking like you're just doing too much.
Yes.
Like it's really not that serious. You want all these things because you can't, it's out of order for you. Yes. You can't control it and you feel like you need to get control back.
Right.
But another thing with him is he was so dismissive to her. And then as when later on in the episode, and we'll get to that, but
you're talking about Dr. Maxwell.
Yes, Dr. Maxwell was with Bailey. And then later on, I saw that he kind of was the same way with Maggie when she came. Mm-hmm. So another thing for me was that he's like a male chauvinist. Mm. So I think it was also because she was a woman that he kind of didn't want to hear what she had to say.
I agree with you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Before we jump to that really quick, I just want to go into the first flashback, which kind of sets us up for the rest of the episode when it's little Bailey and we finally get to meet her mother, who wants her home before the streetlights come on. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, my parents didn't do this for me, maybe because I'm too young, but did your parents do that to you?
No, I think we are like the generation that got cut off. After a while, it was like, it was okay.
Yeah, they were like, oh, whatever. Yeah, so make sure you're home before the streetlights come on. Mm-hmm. So I think right in that initial flashback, we can see that her mom's a worrier. Mm-hmm. Which I was like, okay.
Yeah, it seemed normal at first.
It seemed normal at first. I was like, okay, I can deal with that. Bailey calls Weber about, you know, covering her shifts and stuff like that. And he overhears the ER or the loudspeaker in the ER. And he's like, are you sure you're okay? Blah, blah, blah. We'll talk about that more. I just wanted to bring it up because what we are going to talk about. Bailey meets Morgan, who is her, I don't want to say roommate because they're not in a room. They're still in the pit. But
oh, they are. I was like, her roommate, in the bed next to her,
I guess. Yeah. Who I liked because you could initially off the bat tell that Morgan is this free spirit. She lives life to the fullest. And she's like the polar opposite of Bailey. What did you think of Morgan when you met her?
I liked her. She was out there.
Right?
Like, and just, and then also like calling Bailey's bluff, like, You have to want to do something that's exciting, something that's exhilarating. Like, it's in our nature to do something.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So, because Morgan has been jumping off of planes and just, you know, doing things to the extreme. Mm-hmm. And she's like asking Bailey, like, you don't want to do any of that? Like, nothing intrigues you? You know what I mean? But I think it sparked something in Bailey to do her version of whatever excites her. And if it is a book, okay, that's not, you know, thrilling or, you know, a thrill-seeking thing.
But it's something.
But it's something that
that Bailey can do.
Yes.
Right. I also loved when Maxwell was Dr. Maxwell, excuse me, was talking to Bailey. And all you hear is, like, Morgan in the back. She's like the voice of the viewers. Like, just give her the damn stress test.
Right.
Just so she's asking for, just give it to her, Dr. Maxwell. I loved that. I love that Morgan was, like, all about that. Mm-hmm. Miranda was hesitating about telling Dr. Maxwell about her OCD, which you touched on a little bit earlier. And I was questioning why at first. And then she totally mind blew me when she was like, look, all you're going to do now is check that mental illness box and you're not going to hear anything else that I'm saying. Everything else that I say after that is my mental illness acting up or my mental illness speaking. And I never thought about it like that.
I didn't either.
I was like, wow, people actually do that. Once you tell somebody that you have something mental going on, they attest all of your symptoms to that. That's really sad.
It is.
And it's unfair.
Definitely, because I mean, we see where it went. So it was definitely unfair for him to do that. Like, so I, like I said, he really bothered me.
Yes.
Because he was just so dismissive. And then on top of that, now, like you said, wanted to just put her in that category.
Yes. Well, because like, not only that, he sends this psychologist, yeah. mm-hmm. Dr. Gregory, to like psychologize her. I know that's not a word, you guys. Mm-hmm. I'm making it a word. So he comes to like evaluate her, if you mm-hmm. will. Because like she said, yeah. this is what she was afraid of, and this is exactly what's happening. Mm-hmm. And it just frustrated me because I'm like, this is a fellow doctor. This is a chief of surgery at another hospital that's like down the block.
Yeah.
And you're really going to pull these yeah. strings right now?
And I think, and he also, I think it was another thing, because, you know, as we know, we're Grace fans, Seattle Press and Grace Zone. I now forget the original name of Grace Zone, but they've always been going at it.
Seattle Grace.
But they've always been, you know, back and forth yes. on like who's kind of the better hospital, who has the better people. And I think in that moment, he felt like he had something to prove, like, oh, I have a Grace Sloan doctor here. Uh-huh. This is my show. I run this. Because he mentioned it a few times.
Yes. And I agree with you to an extent, but I also think you're more on track with he has this huge ego. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he doesn't react very well to women.
No.
There was definitely underlines mm-hmm. of that. I want to talk about just Dr. Gregory and her being so frustrated with all of these doctors at Seattle Presbyterian that she calls Maggie mm-hmm. and she's like, Maggie, I need you to meet me here because this is what's going yeah. on. She clearly needed, and I didn't realize it at first, but Maggie is the head of cardiothoracic yeah, surgery. So I was like, why is she calling Maggie? I didn't realize it at first.
She was trying to push her away.
Yeah, like, I was like, wouldn't you call Meredith somebody who's like known yeah. you longer? I mm-hmm. thought she just wanted like another doctor's opinion, obviously from mm-hmm. Seattle Grace. Or see, now you got me calling it Seattle Grace, Grace Sloan. But I was like, why call Maggie? And then I was like, oh right, because she's yeah. head of.
I thought the same thing. I was okay. like, okay. And but I also started to think like, well, maybe because her and Maggie have a good relationship, but she's not as close as, you know, Meredith or right. something like that. So maybe that was why. But no, that totally went over my head that she's had cardio.
Right. Which brings us back into the next flashback. And it's Bailey getting into college. Mm-hmm. And apparently the college is 6 hours away and her mom has an issue with that.
Yes.
Still normal. We're still on this like normal track. Yeah. Mom is just maybe overly worried, mm-hmm. Overly protective, if yeah. you will. And she feels like it's too far away and she doesn't want Bailey to go. Were you still on it's still normal track, or were you like?
No, to be honest, I was on it when she fell off the bike.
Okay.
And so when she was younger, she fell yes. off of the bike and she just was so like, cause she was like, oh my God. It was like, she just fell off the bike.
Yeah.
Girl. But so I kind of sensed it then.
Okay.
Because that was, I felt that was a little overbearing. Like you are going to be concerned if your child is hurt, but that was a bit much. And then she mentioned mm. she was older and she still was like, where's your training? Where's your helmet? You're this and you're that.
Yeah.
So that was when I was like,
yeah.
A little okay. too much.
Fair. So Maggie is on her way. Miranda calls Tuck to ask him how his history project mm-hmm. went, and she starts crying, obviously because she's scared.
Yeah.
That's what I got from that whole mm-hmm. her and Tuck's conversation, is that she's scared. She obviously doesn't want to let on anything's going right. on, because it's Miranda, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, Morgan can't breathe, which I was like maybe a quarter expecting, because mm-hmm. I was like, it's too easy if it's just all about Miranda. Yeah. But Morgan seemed fine. She just had a crash. Nothing yeah. was going on. She had a broken femur, whatever. And then Miranda is the one to save her.
Uh-huh.
Ironic. Like, you're there at a hospital to get treated yeah. yourself, and meanwhile mm-hmm. you're helping patients.
And not add stress to yourself right now.
Right.
But she can't help it, because right. that's what she does.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And that's when Maggie and Weber come in and mm-hmm. find her. Weber obviously putting two and two together because he heard the loudspeaker. Right. Maggie obviously because she called her, and they find her like rescuing this patient, which just goes back to the fact that these doctors, like if there is a patient next to another patient and the patient is coding or code bluing, that's what mm-hmm. she called it, and she's calling for help for that long for you guys to get there.
Yeah.
Like, what is happening at Seattle Press?
What is going on at that hospital? That's why no one wants to go to Seattle Press.
Right. This is why they're so booked at freaking Grace Sloan, because nobody wants to go to mm-hmm. Seattle Press. So, yes, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think that Missy, she was saying how she loved the flashbacks.
Yes.
Like I said, so that it was giving us, you know, more backstory. More
it was, yeah. It gives her more of a character depth, which I like.
Yeah.
So, Bailey winds up saving Morgan, or at least stabilizing her, but then mm-hmm. she collapses, which obviously just, you know, proves the fact that she was right this whole time. Right. Something is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they do another test, Maggie finds out that, you know, her stats are elevated and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And Dr. Maxwell still has this chauvinist attitude of, well, Maggie's like, well, I will go and do this procedure. And Dr. Maxwell's like, well, you don't have privileges here.
Even before that, that upset me. And then, but before that, he looked at Miranda and was like, now, Miranda, we both know that they didn't show that earlier. I wanted to throw something at the TV.
Like, are we playing like, the who's serious? Right in the situation?
Like, really?
Or are we worried about the patient?
Hmm.
I agree with you. No, I completely agree with you. Yeah, no, he was very frustrating mm-hmm. in this episode. I just couldn't understand. And I wished that they'd given him more character depth, but I think you hit the nail on the head when you said, not only is he a little bit chauvinistic, yeah. but I feel like it's because it's Grace Sloan and they're kind of rivals yeah. that he wanted to show up them.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly that was not going to right. be the case, but we'll talk about it. So they have this blockage that they need to fix.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Bailey is sitting on the table, which I loved because she's like, you're too busy worrying about everyone else. And I mean, I'm sorry. He's like, she's like, you don't listen to women when they're trying to tell you something. You mm-hmm. wait until the last mm-hmm. possible second. What did you think of that?
I felt like that was true. Like she said in the beginning. No, go ahead.
No, do you think as a woman, do you think that people, I mean, men in general, cast your opinions aside? Have you ever felt like that?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Like I've worked in sales before, and it's so many times where I've had to tell, you know, a male customer something like that, you know, maybe you can't do it this way, or it's not going to work this way, or blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to tell them and advise them. They're still going, we're going back and forth for a little while.
Yeah.
I go get a male colleague one time. They say it one time and they're done. I'm like, seriously? So that, it does happen.
That's really sad. We have actually a lot of women in the chat. Joe, Olivia, Chelsea M., thank you for making it to the chat. Raquel, thank you guys, everybody. I want to know if you guys feel that same way. Have you guys ever been in a situation where your opinion was discounted once you added a male counterpart in there?
Mm-hmm.
Because you clearly feel like that. And that's mm-hmm. sad. That sucks.
Yeah,
it does. That, I mean, I can imagine why that would make you feel
mm-hmm.
inferior.
And sometimes, I mean, I'll just be honest. For me, sometimes I don't know which one it is. I don't know if it's both because I'm a woman and I'm African-American or because I'm African. I don't know. You know,
yeah,
sometimes it's
yeah,
both. Sometimes it's either or.
Yeah.
And I'm all, some.
It's like a double whammy.
Feeling. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't even think. That's really weird. I didn't even think about the African-American part of that, but you obviously did. So what I think I loved about this, that whole scene, because Dr. Maxwell winds up clearing the blockage. Mm-hmm. Everything's fine. And I thought that was going to be the end of it. Mm-hmm. I thought we were going to go into something else after that. But Weber says they're, as doctors, they're too busy worrying about everyone else that they don't look out for themselves.
Yeah.
I loved that line mm-hmm. because Maggie brought up Amelia. And if we look at it, the history of Grey's, you know, there's Izzy, there was Addison. Like, there was all of these people that had all these medical issues.
Yeah.
And they wait until like the last possible second, so it's really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, that was not the case in this situation. But I think Weber hit it on the head when he was like, "We need to start worrying about ourselves. We need to check each other."
Because mm-hmm. I think they have some type of like a lot of the surgeons. They love what they do. They love to save. They love to like actually cut people open. But mm-hmm. it's a thrill to them. It's exciting, and so I think when they are sick or anything like that, that's going to take them away from what they do. So I think that a part of it is like they get in denial.
Yeah.
But just speaking of the Grey's Anatomy characters, they get in denial about the fact that they need to slow down, take a break. Yes. They always feel like they can't.
Yeah.
Like they just have to keep on pushing and going.
Because, I mean, they learned that as interns though. Like even Miranda said it when they were when she was training Izzy Joy. She was like, it's like sleep when you can.
Yeah.
Like you need to be on top of it all the time. Like there's no time to sleep. There's no time to eat, but do it when you can. Like this is work.
Yeah.
Like it's a high stress.
Yeah.
It's a high anxiety job. Like you have to be on your game at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand why it's so hard, obviously, which just brings me to my next point. Bailey not wanting to go to Grace Sloan because everyone knows her there.
Mm-hmm.
And then she brings up another point where she's like, I am the chief of surgery. I am a woman, the first mm-hmm. woman of chief of surgery, never mind the first black woman of chief of surgery. And she's worked very hard to get into this position and she can't show that she's sick because it might knock her down a peg.
Yeah.
What did you think of that?
I thought, I thought she hit the like nail on the head. Like, I believe that that's very true. And also, and like she compared herself to Weber when he was hurt there. It was like, you come back as the hero.
Yeah.
It's going to look like, yeah, she was weak in that moment. And then you'll be, oh, Miranda, what can we do for you? And even after she's healed for a little while, it's going to be the, are you okay?
Yeah.
How can we? And the men don't get that.
Right.
Hey, welcome back. High five. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I could totally understand where she was coming from. And I was like, I agreed with her.
So you're saying it's a double standard.
Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting. Raquel, I mean, sorry. Raquel had her story on GNC. I did see that. So there are a lot of people out there that share that same experience. Mm-hmm. Once you add this male counterpart in there, like, oh, like, your opinion is totally discredited.
Yeah.
That's really, that sucks, you guys. That sucks. I love having a female co-host that I can talk about this with. Another stubborn thing that Bailey is doing is that she doesn't want to call Ben.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want to go to Grace Sloan, and she doesn't want to call Ben. I understand not going to Grace Sloan. Didn't understand her not calling Ben.
No.
That's a mistake.
I didn't agree with that.
Right?
Because what if something had happened? What if this went the other way?
Right. Yes.
And he has to come after the fact? That's not...
It's not right.
That's not right
at all. And as a doctor, she should know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you were treating a patient, and this person's significant other, you know, is, like, down the street, or this person's around, there's the person's not, like, busy or anything like that. Like, this person can come. You would want your patient to call that person. This person would need a support system.
Yes.
Somebody there. Just in case, like you said, anything happens. I didn't agree with that either. There's another flashback of Miranda and her dad. So we get to meet her mom and her dad.
Yes.
So even more character development. And her dad we've seen before in other shows and stuff like that. I do love that actor. We find out that Miranda had a sister who was 2 months older than her.
Mm-hmm.
Or 2 months... Well, it's before she was born. But her sister was 2 months and then she died of SIDS.
Yeah.
Which is why her mom is the way that she is, this over-warrior, this over-protector. She doesn't want anything to happen to Miranda like it happened to Danielle.
Yes.
What did you think of that whole story?
As soon as when we got there, I was like, oh, it makes sense. Because like I said, I picked up on that earlier, that she was very overprotective. And then I heard that story and I was like, ah, makes sense.
Yeah.
Especially when it's, I feel like, your first child.
Yeah.
You're going to always, if something happened like that and you're a mom, you're always going to react differently and, you know, want to protect the next one or something like that. But it was your first. And I feel like as a character, she probably had guilt and things like that,
yeah.
you know, and it was like, I can't.
Of course.
It was like, my first child, you know what I mean? So, oh, I have a chance again. Okay. Mm-hmm. I can't mess this up, you know, and felt like it was her doing instead of just an accident and something happened in life. Like,
right.
It's a common thing for newborns, you know what I mean? But she took it on as something she did. So. Yeah, I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense now.
Yeah, so then I thought Bailey was going to be fine after the whole blocked artery thing was cleared. Something goes wrong. Obviously, it's Grey's Anatomy. Something's going to go wrong. Naive me. And then she's like has trouble breathing. And then Dr. Maxwell comes in again and Maggie's telling him, you know, did you do a cardiac stress test? If you did, you would have seen it. And I was just, frustrated once again. But I love that throughout the entire episode, they were doing these... not only flashbacks to Miranda's childhood, but Miranda's career at Grace Sloan or Seattle Grace at the time. And the one that got to me, which always gets to me, is when Miranda's dealing with the active shooter. You guys, fun story I have to share. I wasn't a Grace fan from like episode one, season one. I was too young.
Okay.
The first episode I ever watched was when I was flipping through the channels one day, and this episode of The Active Shooter, I think it was season five finale, was on, and I remember standing there in my living room just like, because I was just flipping through the channels. I was standing there literally flipping through the channels. I remember stopping on this show and being like, what is this show? And like, seeing Miranda's performance and seeing the whole Charles, his name was Charles, Mandy Moore was in the episode.
Yep,
I remember like it was yesterday. And
that's one of my favorite finales.
I know. And I just remember bawling my eyes out because of her performance. And I was like, I have to watch this show.
Mm-hmm.
This show is literally amazing. And I've obviously heard of Grey's Anatomy before and all this stuff. But after that episode, I was hooked.
Yeah.
Went on to whatever streaming site I could, started watching it from episode one, season one. Like, this is when Netflix was out. So it was already on Netflix. Like, I binge watched it. So that episode always has like a special place in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I never realized how Miranda heavy it was.
Yeah.
And it was really Miranda heavy.
It was.
And that was a life altering moment for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that they kind of brought that up in this episode because this episode was really all about these life changing moments.
Yeah.
And really it reiterating the fact that life is really short and it can change.
It can change.
Really quick.
Yeah. It could change at any moment.
What was one of your favorite, and I know I'm putting you on the spot, but one of your favorite Grey's scenes besides that one that involved Miranda? And I know I'm putting you on the spot because you know, there's so many. It's these 14 there are seasons.
I don't know. I think, like, I really liked when she was pregnant, when she was having the baby.
Oh, yes.
Because that was mm-hmm. that was very deep. That was, and then once again, no, she was calling Tuck's father. I'm so bad with names. I mentioned that on another show. But she was calling Tuck's father this, because I was going to say she did the same thing, but she didn't. She was calling him. Mm-hmm. But it was just very stressful. And at the time, he had some type of brain injury. So while she's pregnant, going through that, having her first child, here he is laying on a hospital bed somewhere. Right. And she doesn't know that, but she's super stressed out. And also her and George, and that's when they got like closer. So
many good Miranda episodes. That's my favorite. But I'm glad that we have our favorites. Mm-hmm. So Maggie wants, so Miranda has trouble breathing in the present tense. Mm-hmm. Maggie wants to do an invasive keyhole procedure because something went wrong with Dr. Maxwell's first procedure with the blocked artery. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know how to do it, which just further proves my fact that people at Seattle Presbyterian are not on the same level Gray Sloan. I don't know what's going on.
I told you, because Grey's Anatomy, they love to push the envelope. So they're like trying, they're so innovative. They're always trying new things. And so, and she picked up on it so quick, because usually there's this little dramatic pause, like, oh, you don't know how to do it. It was like, it was so quick. She said, or do the, you don't know how to do it. Called him out very quickly.
Yes, she did. Which she should have. Like, what, twice her age? Mm-hmm. He is the chief of surgery over there. Mm-hmm. He should be the one that knows out of everybody how to do this surgery.
And I loved Maggie in that scene. Now, we've seen her a few times kind of, you know, go off and stand up for herself. But she seems so quiet and she's so nice. And you think that she's timid, but she's not. She's just quiet.
Yes.
She's not timid at all. When she needs to get with you, she's going to get with you.
Yes. Everybody in the chat sharing their favorite Miranda moments. We love those moments, you guys. What I think I loved about Maggie in this episode is that Maggie is good when she's in her element. Mm-hmm. When she is doing her surgery, when she's talking about her surgeries or hearts or anything like that, she is good. Anything other than that, she's a little annoying to me.
Okay.
I'm just saying, I'm just going to be honest. I mean.
No, she can be, because sometimes with her, the Riggs situation, when that was going on, I was like, oh, you are like a brat kind of.
But yeah. 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 So Maggie wants to do this procedure because obviously Dr. Maxwell doesn't know how. Mm-hmm. And she's like, literally begging for privileges. Mm-hmm. She's like, I can do it. You're trying to cut her open, and I'm trying to do a 3-inch incision, mm-hmm. and you're having an issue with this. And then Dr. Weber has to come in and be like, look, do this as a favor to me.
Yeah.
Why do you have to do this as a favor to Dr. Weber? Why can't you understand that this is what's best for the patient?
Right.
Like, you have a head of cardiothoracic surgery right there that you could utilize. Why don't you? I was over it. I was so over it.
His arrogance again. Oh, the head, you know, surgeon at Gray Sloan came over here to save the day. So what? If you cannot do a procedure to save someone's life, let the person who can, let them do it.
Right.
Like she said, you want to cut her open, put more stress on her body and everything like that, which is unnecessary.
And it just brings me back to the fact that Miranda, who is in this, you know, very vulnerable state right now, knows even more than all these healthy people do, because mm-hmm. she's the one that called Maggie in the first place.
Yeah. And she even looked when he was, you know, still trying to deny her the privileges. You could see it in Miranda's face. Like, are you serious? Like, almost I felt like she's like, this man gonna let me die. Like,
this man gonna let me die.
That's what her face said.
She is frustrated. I mean, if you were sitting there just calling for help this entire time for almost half of a day, that's hours, mm-hmm. and this person is not listening to you, like...
And then you bring in reinforcement, and he actually wasn't listening to them either. I've always been sad on the show and maybe angry, but this is the most frustrating that I've been watching an episode.
I agree. Which brings us into another flashback of... Miranda going off to medical school, mm-hmm. and her mom obviously has an issue with it. Her mom wanted her to be a speech pathologist, which is a less high level anxiety career. And Miranda literally stands up for herself. And I think this is where it starts, where she's like, surgery makes me happy, mom. Yeah. This is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And then obviously her mom has an issue with it because her mom walks away. What did you think of that?
I was glad that she did that in that moment. And I was glad that the father finally told Miranda what, you know, about her sister and things like that, so that she would know and to kind of, you know, stand up to her mom, because she was getting older. At this point, you're going to college. You're like 18.
Yeah.
You're legally an adult now, you know, so you have to stand up for yourself and put your foot down with your parents sometimes.
It was
so
time.
I was proud of her for
that. It was time, mm-hmm. yeah. Do you think that her bringing up Danielle crossed the line? Like saying, I'm not Danielle?
Maybe the way that she did it maybe, but I think bringing it up, no, because sometimes you need to acknowledge really what the issue is.
And
there's a lot of times when people, you know, still have issues with family or people because they want to beat around the bush and not exactly get to the root of the problem.
You're right. You're right. And then now going to the present, Miranda finally tells Maggie to call Ben, which I was like, thankfully, Ben is running, has this whole dramatic dropping of the hot dogs, running to the hospital. I was like, okay, Ben, like, you had your moment,
boo.
You
ran down there. You ran up the flight of stairs. We get it.
No, I'm on the same page. I'm like, I got it. It was a little dramatic. We got it. What I loved, again, was when Maggie and Dr. Maxwell are doing the procedure, and she's obviously frustrated. She's over it, just like we are with this man.
Yeah.
Because he's so arrogant, and she's telling him, trying to explain this procedure to him, and he has an issue. He's like, don't treat me like I'm an intern. And she's like, I'm trying to teach you something, and you're acting like you're too good to learn it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ooh, don't piss off Maggie.
I told you she's going to get with you.
Yes. And I love that she said at least Miranda fought for herself, like she does, for her patients. Because clearly nobody there was trying to fight for her. I mean,
no one.
It could have ended really badly.
It could have. Like, had she been a regular person, not a doctor, it would have.
Yes. Because
and then he called, you know, like we said earlier, she's demanding a second opinion. She doesn't want to leave the hospital in case she has one and dies on the street. I don't want to leave here a second opinion. And you bring in the psych.
Yes.
So, yeah, a normal person, it probably would have ended differently.
Yeah. But unfortunately, the procedure doesn't go as smoothly because Miranda does end up in VFib, which they didn't really resolve, because the next thing we know is that Morgan wakes up. I thought it was Bailey at first, but then it turned out to be Morgan because she's looking at Weber, and Weber's checking on her. And the only reason I brought this up was because Morgan tells Weber, you know, she's addicted to working. She needs to, like, slow down a little bit. She needs to take, you know, some time, which I agree with. I think that Morgan hit it on the head, and she only knew this woman for maybe like an hour. She's like, she works too hard. Like, relax. And I understand why she has to work so hard, because, like she says, because she is a black female, she has to work twice as hard. It's like with there's a quote, she has to do it twice as hard backwards and in heels just to keep up with her male counterparts. And I think that's sad, but you know, then we look at Miranda waking up. Clearly the surgery went fine. There was this whole VFib dramatic thing, but then nothing really happened with it. And then Ben standing there, and he's upset that she didn't call him at first. And I was like, Ben, don't make this a thing. It's not about you. And then
I felt him, though. He's like, you call.
He has this very dramatic cadence the way he speaks sometimes with his dramatic scenes. You call. I got it. That was perfect. Okay, Ben Warren. So then he tells her, which I thought was really endearing. He's like, I quit. Like, clearly this is causing you stress. I don't need to do it. And throughout this entire experience that she's had, she's opened up to the fact that, you know, life is too short and you should do what you love. And she tells him, no, don't quit. Continue to do it. And you can't quit, because then there would be no spinoff show.
Ben Warren. Like, where are we going with this guy's mouth?
I was like, but she does have him build her treehouse, which brought us, and I love when they do this continuance thing, which brought us back to the first treehouse, first flashback with her mom, and her mom was like, where are you? The streetlights and stuff like that. And she's like, I was just in a tree reading. It's so Miranda. It's so Miranda. Such a nerd.
But that'll be good for her. Like I said, that's her way to relax, to get her zen. So, you know, be in that treehouse reading books.
I think I love this episode because I feel like the whole thing and the message of the entire episode was, did you spend your life doing what you love with the people that you love? I think that anybody can relate to. Whether you're a Grace fan, whether you're a surgeon or not, I feel like no matter what walk of life you walk, you can relate to that. I loved that.
I did too. That's very powerful, because it's so true. It's so true, because like we just said, here's the thing for me, I don't necessarily like to say that life is too short, because then you have people who they live long lives, you know, to 100. So for me, it's like, but it may not be short. So the thing is, life is unexpected and it's unpredictable, and it's just, tomorrow's not guaranteed. So that's the thing. It's just like, there's no guarantee.
I like that.
So because you don't know,
Yeah.
So every day should be, you know, with love and things like that. Yeah. Agreed. And if you have anger, like I always try to resolve it, maybe not at that moment, but before the day ends, try to resolve it with whoever, you know, it was with. Because
ooh, girl, any man's going to be lucky to have you.
Okay. Hey, guys, once again, my Instagram. No,
you can say that at the end of the episode. Hold off. Hold off. All the mans that want her Instagram to slide into those DMs, hold off for a second. I love that they had this closure moment with Miranda and her mom, say, like, calling her and telling her everything that happened. And it was kind of closure to her mom. I don't think they were going to see her mom again.
I don't think so
either. No. Yeah. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I had good closure with the mom and stuff like that. So I'm good with that. Let's talk about Station 19 really quick because we're a little low on time, but we did want to talk about the new spinoff show Station 19 because the preview was this week. What did you think of it?
The preview was good.
Right?
I feel like I'm in already.
I'm excited.
I'm very excited for it. I'm hoping Ben has a larger part because a lot of the trailer
he wasn't really in it.
We didn't really see him too much. So I'm hoping that he's in it a little bit more. But I'm excited for it. I'm excited that there will be looks like they are going to interact with
crossovers.
There's
a lot of crossovers. Yeah.
I just said Meredith came through like with her Meredith Way. Whatever character, I guess we'll learn who she is later, but she came in, she was very stressed. Her father was down. They're both the firefighters, her and her father. And she goes to the hospital and Meredith like, hey, come here. I heard your father's over here. Takes her to the supply room. Lets her get it out. Cry it out.
Yep.
Let's go. Put your game face on. Let's get.
I think what I loved about this episode is we have a little bit more insight to the entire show. The fire station is only three blocks down from Grace Sloan. So we know that it's too close not to have more than one crossover. Yes. Ben, I think, is the only reason he's there so that they can have these crossovers. So they can kind of like introduce this new show. And I just hope that they, like you said, he does have a bigger role. I love the fact that it is a Shonda Rhimes. Yes. And of course, in Shonda Rhimes fashion, you have to have a strong female lead. And they have that in this. Apparently, there's going to be like a female fire captain, which is really unheard of, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And she tweeted actually today or a couple of days ago, she said that she wants to start eliminating strong female.
She did. I saw
in
that.
TV. Because it's more of like an insult, but I don't really feel that way. I'm going to continue to use it, unfortunately, Shonda Rhimes, because I feel like it's a compliment. I feel like me acknowledging that you are a strong female lead just is a testament to your talent and the way that you can carry a show.
Yeah.
So
I agree with you. I feel like I understood where she was coming from with that because I don't always say it with men, but I don't know, because it adds something to it.
When I you feel say, like it does, a
strong
too.
Female lead or whatever.
Yes.
So I like that. But I'm so excited for it. What was another part? Oh, it just seemed, the drama seems like it's going to be there, of course. Like, it's Shonda, and she brings the drama, and I'm excited about that.
I'm excited. I feel like it's going to be a little bit more expensive because of the fires and the scenes that they have to do. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of stunt doubles. I'm excited.
Yeah,
I'm excited. I can't wait for it to come out. Let's go into predictions really quick about Grey's Anatomy now. And then we'll close with that. Predictions.
Now, you're after Buzz TV.
Predictions. I'm going to shoot it over to you.
All right.
Any predictions that you have coming up?
Coming up.
Because here's the thing. For this episode, I loved it, but I love when it's an ensemble piece because Grey's Anatomy is an ensemble show. So when it is focused around one character, I do get a little stir crazy because I want to see what everybody else is up to.
Yeah.
So I want to know what everybody else is up to. I want to know what's going to happen. In the preview, the competition is starting.
Yeah.
Which I'm really, really excited about. So I want to hear predictions.
Yeah. Because I'm like, what's happening? Because I get distracted. I've gotten distracted by just Miranda.
So I know.
But like, well, where do we leave off with everyone? But yes, the competition is starting. People are going to like be upset with April. But, you know, she has her ways. Like she was... you know, chief resident or something like that. And she gets very bossy.
Yes.
And I see she's going to be on them about like, well, and this will not be an easy competition for them, as they think, especially Jackson, who thinks he's probably going to just breeze through it. so I feel like he's maybe a little annoying in this next episode.
Yeah. I feel like just a lot of people are going to be butthurt because it is the competition. There's going to be a lot of people that we do like that are not going to get past the first. Because apparently the first stage is writing a paper, I guess, outlining or just writing a thesis on what it is you're going to be adding to this competition. And I don't think a lot of people are going to make it through, which is, it's like a competition.
Paper?
I mean,
like, yes.
That's how you have to start it off. Like, start with the preliminaries and then get into the nitty gritty.
Yeah, get into it.
I mean, I want to see where this goes. I'm excited about this competition because now we get to see, because it just brings me back to when Christina and Meredith had their little, like, like kind of competition when Meredith was doing her 3D graphing or 3D organ thing in the printer, and Christina was doing I can't remember what she was doing, but she was doing some crazy cardio surgery.
Was it the Heart in a Box, or was that something else?
It might have been something else. But I loved then they had that when they had that competition because it's a medical show. We want to see these medical things, and we love it when they have these cases of craziness that happens. So I'm just thinking that because of this competition,
we'll see more of the
crazy cases, and then they have to use their competition knowledge to solve these crazy cases. That's, you know what I mean?
That, and like you touched on though, like working on the 3D printer. So I think it's going to be a mix of the cases and them trying to come up with new things.
Yes,
that's like, oh my god, this is incredible.
Yes,
you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, okay, we can use this new method to save, you know, everyone.
Yeah, but I feel like this is a really good way for Grey's Anatomy to kind of reinvent itself when it comes to the cases.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I feel like they've slacked a little bit.
Yeah, they have. That probably, you know, it's hard.
I know, it's hard. The show's been running on for so long. I get it. I mean,
gotta have different.
You can't have conjoined twins and poles through two people and all this stuff all the time. I get it. But I want to see some new crazy stuff.
No, that's true.
So I'm excited about this competition. Yeah. We want to hear what you guys have to think. Are you excited about the competition? Do you think the competition is predictable? Mm-hmm. I want to see who is going to.
She said, I'm sorry. Christina had because I can't see that.
Conduit. That's right. Thank you, Raquel Tompkins. Clearly a huge Grey's Anatomy fan, like everybody in the chat. And we love you guys in the chat. We love when you guys interact with us. Sorry we didn't get to interact with you that much, but we loved hearing your stories, and we love seeing you interact with us. And throughout the week, make sure you tweet at us, because we do like to interact with you through there. I do have to get better about tweeting.
I do too.
Yeah.
I'm more Instagram, but I'm trying to pick back up on Twitter.
I feel like I should get back into tweeting. But I'm excited to see this competition. I'm excited to see who rises and who falls. But we'll see. That is our recap of season 14, episode 11 of Grey's Anatomy. You guys, thank you once again to everybody in the chat for inputting your opinions. Elmarie, where can they find you, my love?
Once again, you guys can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at ElmarieTV.
You guys, once again, I am Timothy Michael. You can find me everywhere at I am Timothy Mike. I don't know if we are on hiatus next week because of the Olympics. I know that Will and Grace is, and they also film on Thursdays, but if we are on hiatus, we will keep you guys posted. And if not, we will see you next Thursday, same time. Thank you guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.